After 2 years of relentless war, Israel and Hamas have agreed to a US-brokered ceasefire. The deal was first unveiled in late September during a joint press conference with Trump and Netanyahu and was swiftly endorsed by leaders across Europe and the Middle East. Among its 20 points to end the war in Gaza, the plan calls for a temporary halt to hostilities, a gradual Israeli withdrawal to a defined line inside Gaza, and a hostage-prisoner exchange. It also stipulates the return of displaced Palestinians and the flow of humanitarian aid into the Strip, where famine was declared in August. If implemented, the truce will bring a much-needed reprieve to Gaza. Still, both Palestinians and Israelis remain cautiously optimistic. The deal is a staged process, and only the first phase has been agreed upon. What comes next is uncertain. There are deep divisions between Hamas and Israel, particularly over disarmament, withdrawal, and Gaza's political future. However, perhaps the main concern is that Netanyahu, at risk of government collapse, may harden his stance to appease his far-right allies. Doing so would slide Gaza back into low-intensity conflict. For all intents and purposes, the hardest questions have merely been postponed. The ceasefire stops the war, but not the reason for it. Trump's ceasefire is already showing cracks. Israeli forces have opened fire in Gaza, killing 3 people. But it's not just the IDF pulling the trigger. Internal clashes among Palestinian factions are also escalating. Israel's staged pullback to the yellow line is bound to leave a power vacuum in the Strip, and some armed clans are looking to exploit, including groups that previously collaborated with Israel to undermine Hamas. This is such a dense subject that it's almost certain to be framed differently by both legacy media and social media. To stay on top of things, I use Ground News, available as a website and an app. Its tools let me compare local and regional sources and see how different outlets present the same story from their own angles. This page from their daily briefing breaks down Gaza's clan wars. It explains what's happening, why it matters, and the key questions ahead. It even lays down the competing perspectives between Hamas and the Gaza clans. I can't stress enough how important this is, which is why I asked Ground News to sponsor this video. I use Ground News to connect the dots and form my own opinions, and I think that you'll find it invaluable too. Try it out for yourself by visiting ground.news/Caspian or scanning the QR code. Subscribing through this link gets you 40% off the Vantage plan, and it directly supports my channel. Thank you, Ground News. The link is below. The human cost of the Gaza war is staggering. More than 84,000 Palestinians have been killed, including tens of thousands of civilians, according to independent sources. Gaza's housing and infrastructure lie in ruins, and the violence has spilled into the West Bank, where Israeli military raids and settler attacks have targeted Palestinian towns, prompting retaliatory strikes in return. Israel, too, has taken a hit with about 1,600 deaths since hostilities began, including roughly 1,200 civilians. Trump's ceasefire is designed to freeze the war in its tracks, at least for the time being. Both Hamas and Israel have agreed to the first phase, which requires each side to scale back hostilities. Trump, Netanyahu, and most Western and Arab leaders have ruled out any role for Hamas. Under the plan, a task force called the International Stabilization Force will be established to oversee the ceasefire, train Palestinian police, and coordinate humanitarian aid, though it will primarily operate from outside Gaza. The task force is expected to include contingents from the United States, Egypt, Qatar, Turkey, Jordan, and the UAE. In the coming days, weeks, and possibly months, this coalition will play a central role in maintaining the truce. It will oversee the withdrawal of Israeli troops and guide the handover of security to the new Palestinian local force. Hamas and Israel each have strong incentives to comply. For Hamas, the ceasefire offers a chance to secure humanitarian relief for civilians and regroup its remaining fighters. For Israel, it addresses mounting domestic pressure to bring hostages home and growing international pressure to scale back military operations in Gaza. The next phase of Trump's plan is somewhat vague and conditional. It calls for the creation of a technocratic committee to temporarily assume day-to-day governance in Gaza, which would manage public services, oversee reconstruction, and coordinate the distribution of aid. The committee would include qualified Palestinians and international experts operating under the supervision of a new legal body known as the Board of Peace. Chaired by President Donald Trump and joined by figures such as former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, the board would direct funding and set the framework for Gaza's redevelopment until such time as the Palestinian Authority, which governs the West Bank, has completed its reform program and is ready to assume control of Gaza. A lot of things will have to move in sync for this to work. In simple terms, Trump's peace plan aims to bring the Palestinian Authority back to Gaza, leaving no role for Hamas in the new administration. For now, though, the technocratic committee's powers will be limited to basic governance and public services. Arab and international partners are expected to assist in establishing this new administration. However, some, most notably Saudi Arabia, want the new committee also to lead talks on Palestine's long-term political future. Trump's 20-point peace plan does mention a path toward Palestinian self-rule and eventual statehood, but offers no timeline, no enforcement, and no clear vision of what that end goal would look like. And here, things go widely off track. Firstly, Hamas insists on a complete Israeli withdrawal from the Gaza Strip, but the ceasefire only requires Israel to pull back to the so-called yellow line. In practice, Israeli forces would still control the majority of the Gaza Strip, including key areas such as Beit Hanun, parts of Gaza City, Khan Yunis, and nearly all of Rafah. For Hamas, that's not good enough, and so they insist that every Israeli soldier leave the Gaza Strip in its entirety. Secondly, Hamas also wants a clear deadline for an independent Palestinian state and says it will only hand over power to a technocratic government supervised by the Palestinian Authority and backed by Arab and Muslim countries. It rejects any role for Trump, Blair, or foreign rule of Gaza, meaning the Board of Peace is effectively dead on arrival. On the other side, Netanyahu has ruled out any deal that leads to a Palestinian state. He insists that a full Israeli pullout is off the table and that Hamas must disarm before Gaza's post-war administration, in whatever shape or form, can even be considered. The central problem is sequencing. Israel wants disarmament first, politics later. Hamas insists on the reverse. And even though the group has been severely weakened after 2 years of fighting, Hamas is still believed to have around 15,000 fighters. So, even if it agrees to give up power, it's difficult to see Hamas disappearing completely. For all of these reasons and more, the future governance of Gaza will be a deeply contentious topic in the negotiations to come, particularly as Western and Arab governments push for the involvement of the Palestinian Authority and a two-state solution. Netanyahu stands at the center of Trump's ceasefire and its outcome. He leads a fragile coalition government, and there are questions over whether it will collapse as a result of the truce. Far-right members, including Finance Minister Smotrich and National Security Minister Ben-Gvir, have expressed opposition to Trump's peace plan and signaled that they could leave the coalition government. Netanyahu will do whatever it takes to keep his coalition intact. So once the hostage and prisoner releases are completed and the negotiations move to the next phase, starting talks on Gaza's political future, momentum could stall. This will give space for hardliners to derail the negotiations. Having met his main domestic goal of freeing the remaining hostages, Netanyahu could harden his stance on Hamas's disarmament, its leadership's exile, and stricter control over post-war Gaza, all while maintaining an IDF presence in the Strip. These preconditions would stall any momentum from the previous phase. As a result, the Israelis could begin carrying out regular ground raids and targeted strikes across Gaza, while effectively dividing the territory into smaller zones to stop Hamas from regrouping or rebuilding its forces. Ideally, Israel would want to create security corridors around and inside Gaza. We did a video about these corridors a year ago, and it's worth checking out even now. Israel's goal is to fortify these corridors with checkpoints, watchtowers, forward bases, and other surveillance tools. Using these security corridors, the Israeli army would be able to monitor any point in Gaza without necessarily occupying the entire territory. So, whenever Hamas fighters surface from underground and prepare to fire rockets, the Israelis would detect them in no more than a few minutes and launch a counter-strike. The Israeli leadership believes these corridors would make further Hamas transgressions improbable in the long term, or at least decrease the damage they can inflict. Meanwhile, the Palestinian civilian population would reside within smaller chunks of territory, each disconnected from the other. However, as much as the Israelis may prefer that outcome, they're not yet in a position to enforce it. With Trump's ceasefire, the situation in Gaza is likely to resemble the one in Lebanon, where stability rests on deterrence rather than peace. For context, Israel signed a ceasefire with Hezbollah in November 2024 that required the IDF to withdraw from all Lebanese territory within 60 days, pending Hezbollah's redeployment north of the Litani River. While Hezbollah did withdraw, Israel did not. To this day, the IDF maintains at least 5 outposts in southern Lebanon, where sporadic clashes remain a regular occurrence. A repeat of that is now likely for Gaza. Israel could tie its troop withdrawal and the flow of aid to Hamas's disarmament and removal from power. However, since Hamas is unlikely to budge, the truce could thus give way to another cycle of conflict by early 2026, albeit limited to low-intensity skirmishes. For now, the guns have fallen silent over Gaza. But peace is not the same as quiet. I've been your host Shivan from Caspian Report. If you approve of what we do, please leave a comment, hit the like button, and mayhaps share the video. In any case, thank you for your time, and Saul. So